Good morning, Ashwood. It's great to be with you. I'm Claire, for those who might not know my name. We're doing something a little bit different this morning between Matt and I and a little bit of Elaine. So we get a little ensemble of people today. So possibly if you don't like my voice, you might like the next one that comes and the next one after that. But we've called this our sort of vision, mission, communication type morning. Generally, in the past, we would have done one of these types of mornings where we share and we update and we let you in on some things that we've been thinking about, praying over on an evening. But we recognise that often is the case that with kids and sitters and all of that type of thing, that we don't get the greatest of crowds. So we decided to hijack a Sunday morning, knowing that there might be a few more people here, and it's brilliant to see you all. So that's kind of the plan for the morning. So we've got information on our finances, we've got information about new home for Ashwood, but before we do all that, my privilege is to walk us through some stuff around things that Matt and I have been looking at, our heart for where Ashwood is going, about purpose and about mission. So I think you're going to find it interesting, I know you are, and so I'm going to walk you through some of that this morning. So firstly, as church, what is our purpose? And this is it, simple. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Should we say that together? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's our purpose as church. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. So our mission, for many of you, you will have seen this phrase over a number of months, if not slightly longer. Our mission, helping people find and follow Jesus. Everything we do flows out of this, and everything we do flows into this. So why do we need finance? The answer, helping people find and follow Jesus. You might be able to join with me, I've got a few of these. Why are we looking at a new home for Ashwood? Answer, helping people find and follow Jesus. Why do we run a food bank? Answer, helping people find and follow Jesus. Why do we now have 11 life groups? Answer, helping people follow and find Jesus. It's brilliant stuff. So, excuse the few little people who've heard this story before, but perhaps you might have heard about a tale about an American shoe salesman who was sent to a remote place in Africa. Soon after he landed, he sent a message back to the manufacturer and he said, I want to come home. And he said, the reason I want to come home is nobody wears shoes in this part of Africa. So they brought him home and they sent another salesman who sold order after order after order of shoes. And he wrote back to the office and he said, everybody here, they need shoes. These two salesmen had different perspectives. A person's perspective can determine the type of result. Just as different perspectives brought different results for these two salespeople, our perspective is a powerful principle in successfully helping people find and follow Jesus. So if our mission is to help people find and follow Jesus, then as a church, I think we need to process a different perspective, one of faith that says this, wow, everybody here needs Jesus. I have a lot of work to do. Wow, everybody here needs Jesus. I have a lot of work to do. People may not seem to want the shoes. In fact, they may say no to the shoes at first, but wait until we start wearing them around town. Our perspective must be like the second shoe salesman. Everybody here needs shoes. So if we're on a journey with plenty to learn, but more and more as Ashwood Church, we want to be known as a church that helps people find and follow Jesus. So if this is our mission, what should Ashwood Church look like? We move to what our vision is. To be a spiritually healthy, growing church for all ages. And you can probably see from the colours up there, there's three parts to this. Spiritually healthy, it's about growing church. and it's about all ages. So what does spiritually healthy look like? What does it mean for a church to be spiritually healthy? What signs indicate we are spiritually fit? I mean, if you go to the gym, I don't, but if you did, then hopefully you might see some alterations in your body because of your fitness levels going up. There's something specific you can see. So in terms of church, if we're going to look spiritually fit, what might that look like? Well, I think we should be Christ-focused. We're developing our relationship with God. There's a willingness to serve. We're supporting one another. To me, a healthy church is a real life church. We equip people in our families, in work, in every relationship. Lives being transformed, and the presence and the power of God would be evident. I think that's what we would look like as a spiritually fit, healthy church. So what does a growing church look like? Well, it's not just about numerical growth. However, if our mission is to help people find and follow Jesus, then we trust that on a Sunday morning, in our groups and things, that we will see new people being added to Ashwood regularly. But it's how we grow personally as well. If I think of me, I don't want to be the same Claire Bell that I was yesterday, a few weeks ago, a year ago, 5 years ago. I want to be changing. So the goal is that across church, we will grow in maturity and Christ-likeness. Being a growing church then is both welcoming more people, but also growing people in our knowledge and experience of God and his word. So we've looked at spiritually healthy, we've looked at growing. So all ages. We believe, and I think if you just turn to your left or your right, you might see somebody either younger or older than yourself. Or similar, maybe. Or you're like me and you can't actually judge age very well and you might embarrass yourself. But we are a generational church and we are passionate about it. Hold nothing back. We're generational and we're really pleased that we're part of this. And I just looked up and it was really interesting. The makeup in terms of our ages here. I did a bit of digging. We have 60 kids. I love this. You saw loads of them. 60 kids registered in our Sunday zones that just went out. I just go, wow. 60 kids from age 18 months-ish to 14-ish. Is that right? Something like that. We have 29 people who come under the 18 to 30s bracket. If you're in that bracket, little tap on the back, you're here. Brilliant. We have 59 people in the age 30 to 50s. Are you in that camp? There's 59 of us. I'm in that camp. We have 44 people in the 50 to 70s group. Little nod there if you're in that one. And we have 15 people in the over 70s group. Yes. Come on, 15, brilliant. We are a generational church and we love all ages. I'm absolutely passionate about this. Psalm 145, verse 4 declares this. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Throughout the Bible, we clearly see that each generation is called to build on the foundation created from the previous generation. So what does that mean for us in Ashwood, in our context? Well, absolutely, we absolutely need each other in order to have a healthy Ashwood church. We absolutely need each other to produce a healthy Ashwood church in order to become a spiritually healthy, growing church for all ages. We need older men and older women pouring themselves into the younger men and younger women. This is how we help build godly character, we invest in future generations, and we help ensure legacies of faith in Jesus going forward. We need families, not just to be families for themselves, but to be mums and dads and brothers and sisters for others in this church. The youth, well, they bring some vibrancy, some energy and life. And older generations bring wisdom and often maturity, and they're great role models in God for the rest of us. We love being a generational church, and we're glad that you're all part of it. So, if we believe that there's going to be healthy growth, then I think we need two things. We need healthy environments, and we need some great structures. So what does a healthy environment look like? It looks like this. There you go. We want Ashwood to be a place that is positive. If you hang around me for very long, you'll understand that negative is just like an enemy to me. I hate it. I'm passionate about it. I'm a positive person by nature. It don't help me sometimes, but I'm a positive person by nature. And that is what we want to create across Ashwood Church. We want a place of honouring. And honouring one another, thanking people all the time. We want there to be the presence of God would be evident. I think we saw that this morning. But where the presence of God is evident, there's generosity around. A number of people helped yesterday. Denise, who's from Salvation Army, her parents are moving up and the bungalow needed a clean. I always find that God seems to put me in those really uncomfortable places because I hate cats and there was a lot of cat hair to deal with. And I was going, God, why'd you do that? It wasn't nice. Anyway, but generosity of people turning up, giving of their time and helping others out. That is part of who Ashwood is. Loving one another. We're going to be faith-filled and continually learning. And then there's going to be an increase in the spiritual temperature. The Holy Spirit is at work in us and through us, creating a healthy environment. And then creating great structures. The best structures in place so that we can have this healthy, growing church. So what does that look like? We have healthy life groups. I think we worked out, where did we say? 158 people are in life groups, which is brilliant. Great Sunday morning meetings. Worship is core. It's central. We've had prophetic words about this. Worship is central to who Ashwood is. There will be passionate prayer gatherings. Great youth work, amazing kids work, and we'll always be wanting to develop more leaders. So how do we all do all of this? Well, we need some great people. So over the last couple of years, Matt and I have placed high priority in seeking God in what he wants to do in and through Ashwood Church in this next season. And it's why we've, behind the scenes, been spending a lot of time on mission, on our vision, what our environment looks like, what our structure's like, and what people we've got in what places. And we've had a great foundation laid for us to launch from, and we realise that as we move forward, teams and roles will change and they'll develop. And we believe at the moment we've got some great people in great teams in Ashwood. So I'm just going to tell you a few of those because I know it's not always apparent where those teams are. So we have a discipleship and care team, and I know people hate being embarrassed, but for those who in this room might not know who you are, would you like to just stand to your feet? I think some of them have gone out, but if you're on our discipleship and care team, just stand up for me. So we've got, come on, Gary, get off the back row. He's rusting. He's had a little hip operation. We've got Matt and I on there. We've got Molly and Pam and Gary. They're there for life group support and coordinators. Janet's normally there. She's there from a pastoral coordinator. Neil and Lucy, we're just there. And they're our youth pastors. Esther over here is our children's pastor. Dom, who you saw last week. It's a stag weekend. Great. He's our 18 to 30s pastor. And Elaine has pastoral oversight, being part of our trustees. So thanks, guys. We've also, during this year, pulled together our staff team. Sorry, staff team, if you're part of that, just stand up for the benefit of everybody else, please. where else? Zach's on a year out. Lisa's not here as well. We've got all sorts of people in there. You can have a sit down. Thank you. So our current model in terms of this, we are aware it's not a universal one, but we believe that it's the right one for where we are at Ashwood at the moment, because it's about more people having amazing gifts and abilities and having the opportunity to be paid part-time to invest in the life and health of Ashwood Church. So that goes for administration, finance, youth work, community, mission, and then Matt and I as senior leaders. So we believe this is the right structure at the minute of having more people with amazing gifts and abilities to be able to invest into the life of this church. A couple of other areas, our trustees, which we're really grateful to them. Behind the scenes, they're looking at all the governance, they're keeping us on track, and we appreciate everything that you do. And I won't steal Elaine's thunder because she's having a snippet later. Leadership. We have loads of people leading teams and activities. We've got life group leaders. I think there's like 20-odd of them. 40. Oh, because we double up, don't we? Yes. 40-odd people in our life group leading team. We have a staff team, like I just mentioned. David and Paul lead our worship team. Zoe and Tom lead our detached youth work. John leads our Alpha course. Eric and Margaret lead our marriage course. We have zones teams. We have the youth team. And no doubt there's many others. So we're always looking to strengthen leadership. And wanting to give you this morning a quick update on that this morning. So if you were here on our prophetic conference back in March, we had Steve Hepden with us. And he spoke to Dave. Has he gone out? Oh, no, he's there. I wasn't quite sat with you. Dave, just stand up. Dave in his stripy top. He's come with his standout top. There we go, Dave. So Steve Hepden had a word for Dave, and the prophetic word was, you are a pillar in the church. You're strong and stable. You take weight. You can bob down if you want now. And what Steve Hepden didn't realise, that what's been going on behind the scenes is Dave has been hanging out with Matt and I, being a great support, working through a few things, chatting through stuff, and helping us. And so Dave will continue to do that, and today we're recognising him, the call on his life as a leader, and he's going to continue in this next season to help us, support us, and shape some of the future decisions of what's going to be taking place in Ashwood. So we're really grateful for that, Dave. And on the bottom of, oh, it's gone, Matthew, is there. There we go. I wasn't going to mention too much of this, but it's great to know that we've always got things continuing on in the background, new things popping up. And just this year, 2016, three new areas within Ashwood which have team involvement. Janet is exploring over the next 6 months what a pastoral care team looks like, so she's had a couple of sessions with them. Rowan and Zoe have pulled together some people regarding a justice group and looking at how we respond to issues of justice, both home and away. And then Eric and John have been pulling together some things around men's ministry. We want to be able to connect men inside church with outside church friends, and that's going really, really well. So I just think that's really positive, brilliant stuff. If I'm allowed to use that word. So just finally, before I pass on to Matt, if we can put, I'm hoping, oh, it doesn't read very well, does it? Oh, it can there. I just can't see it up there. I wanted to capture, just in one little slide, what this whole thing looks like in terms of our vision of being a spiritually healthy, growing church for all ages. Healthy things grow. If your relationship with God is healthy, you will grow. And we expect to be a growing church that reaches people. So what does that look like? It's these four areas. We're a generational church. We are a family of all ages and different walks of life, all following the same Jesus. Worship is central to Ashwood Church. A people with a passion for the presence of God. We encounter God, we equip the worshipper, and we empower the church to worship God. Important to us is having a kids and youth culture. inspiring a new generation, empowering and creating opportunities for every child and every young person to fulfill their God potential. And we want to be an authentic community. We connect people to Jesus and we create space for people to belong. We are big on hospitality and cheering each other on. And I hope you find that too. Why don't you just, before I pass on to Matt, just turn to somebody next to you and just say, I am really pleased you're part of Ashford Church. And if you're a visitor here, somebody next door to you just say, I'm so glad you paid Ashford Church a visit this morning. Brilliant. I'll leave Matt to try and calm you all down.
Don't need that. Very good. Claire noticed that it was good to have some audience participation. You'll be pleased. Some of you will have met Jean-Yves, who's our guest from France. He's here for a couple of weeks. So over the last... What did I say? He's been here a couple of weeks. Okay, he's been here a couple of weeks and he's going to be here a couple of months. Is that better? Okay, yeah. And so in the meantime, he's here to learn some English, but we've had some fun learning some French. There are some people in this room, I think they're here today, who speak excellent French, Gary and Pam are two of them, but there's other people as well. And Jean-Yves joined us for our life group, and so we had some fun translating a few things. And one of the things that he's taught me, because I asked him to, I said, what does tap my sank mean? So tap my sank, Jean-Yves. Tap mon sank means high five. So just tap mon sank, someone next to you. Just say tap mon sank. Tap mon sank. And this morning, there's a number of things, Claire. Hopefully you've caught not just the information that we want to share with you this morning, but something of our heart as well. And as Claire says, these are things that we've been thinking about for a while. We talk over a lot. We think about every word and making sure that we're as clear as we possibly can be. And other people have helped us draw some of this together. So Elaine and Simon and Stephen have been a part of helping us to shape some of the things that we've doing, other people contributing as well. And this morning, as Claire was speaking, of course, I've heard this a lot because every night before we go to bed, we talk about some of these things. That's not quite true. But there's lots of things that we, you know, are ongoing, having conversations about all kinds of things. So hopefully this morning, as we talk, we're doing our very best to share with you not just information, not just words, not just stuff on a screen, but hopefully something of our heart. And if you're listening to some of this and you're thinking, well, this is obvious, or I know this, or I've heard this before, then in one sense, then I'm really pleased about that, because there's much of these things that we're talking about which aren't necessarily new. They're things that we are feeding in all the time, that we're talking about, we're having conversations with individuals, and they are basically the lifeblood in many ways of the things that are happening within Ashford Church. So if you're sat thinking, well, I know this, I've heard this, this makes sense, then great. So I'm going to talk just for a few minutes in terms of, some of this will be information. As Claire said, often we do this kind of thing in terms of a business meeting, but we wanted to be able to share it with you all on a Sunday morning. So I know some people are very interested in finances. Some people aren't particularly interested at all. So we've just got one slide. And if you have your copy of Ashford News, you'll have maybe, hopefully, already seen that we pull out in there with a bit more detail as to what has happened as we look back with the finances over the last year. It's true to say that our finances are in a really healthy place. And one of the things that people talk about is, Claire's just talked about healthy church. One of the things that is really important as church is that if a healthy church has to have healthy finances, we have to have healthy administration that underpins all the things that we do. That's why we're so grateful for people who work often behind the scenes to make sure that we're not just healthy spiritually, but I think there is a very strong correlation for us as individuals, but also as church, when we talk about finances and what we invest our time and our money into and the health of church as well. So we want to thank everybody who gives during this period that we're looking at here. Of course, we have boundaries in terms of when we capture our finances. So this is the year, which is 2015 to 2016. And of course, as Claire's already said, if we are going to be a church that help people find and follow Jesus, that costs money. And we have departments that we set up, and you can see them in more detail in the handout. But we want to invest in these areas, basically. We kind of group things together, and we look at how we want to develop stuff and how we want to grow things within church. So Claire's already mentioned some of them, but we want to develop life groups. So in 2015 and 2016, we spent time and effort and resources on developing life groups for training. We had mini conferences that we were part of our investment in becoming a spiritually healthy, growing church. We invested in equipment. We organized community events. We worked with young people. We've dedicated some of our finances to pay part-time most of the time all of the time for individuals to be able to create more capacity so that we can help more people find and follow Jesus. And as we grow, of course, that will only need to continue. So in our thinking, we're always looking ahead as to what extra capacity we need to create to be all, in order to do and to strengthen some of these things that we do. If you find the pullout in Ashwood News, you can read a bit more detail and you can look at some of the numbers. And of course, if you're interested in the statutory, the financial accounts, then if you speak to one of the trustees, then they'll be able to give you the greater level of detail if that's something that you're interested in. One thing that is worth just bringing to your attention, and I thought about this over the last month or so, I was looking at some of these numbers and the figures and very grateful to God for all that he is providing for us. One of the things that in 2015 and 2016, and this will change going forward as we, some things will be different in 2016, 2017 in terms of people and costs and things. But one of the great things that we were able to do in 2015, 2016, you'll see on there, there's a line that says building development project. One of the things that, and I actually feel that this is part of God's kindness and preparation and looking ahead, we were able to put aside an additional amount of £40,000 to go towards looking ahead for our building and development project. And I, as we look at that, just really excited actually that it feels to me like God's, in his kindness, has gone ahead of us. And preparing us. Of course, £40,000, Claire's already mentioned perspective, £40,000 on the one hand sounds like a lot of money, but for the types of things that we are expecting and looking forward to, £40,000 actually could be 2 or 3 weeks, a drop in the ocean, a small amount. But actually, if we add that to some of the money that we've already got set aside, which is around about £90,000, it means that we have something in place that is a great, really, it's a starting point, isn't it, for some of the places that we want to go. So just wanted to just bring that to your attention, and hopefully, and we'll do it now and do it later, we just want to thank God for his provision for us, which we're really grateful. Yeah, we can do it now. No, there's additional money for that as well. This is separate, yeah. From the giving of the church. We haven't transferred anything. If you want to talk to the trustees about that, we haven't transferred it. We've just set it aside, basically. So, yeah. Well, it's given towards the church, and then the trustees, of course, decide what to do with that, with what to do with the finances, don't they? So that's the mandate. That's one of the reasons why we have the trustees who work very closely with us to decide exactly how we invest in the running of the church and elements. But Norman, feel free to talk to one of the trustees, or we can catch up afterwards on that. That's not a problem. So that's where we're at in terms of finances. And it links very well in terms of a bit of an update information-wise as we look at something that we've called the new home for Ashwood. And those of you who've been around for a while will know that this is something that we describe as our new home for Ashwood. It's not, we don't call it a building project, because it's actually more than that. We're thinking very carefully about our home as Ashwood Church, where we want to be and what it wants to look like. And we're on a journey, and today we're not going to go back. I'm not going to go back over all the old ground. There's lots of landmarks and things that we talked about on the way, but also aware that there's people in the room who may not know all of the details about where we've been. So I'm just going to very quickly, just give you a bit of a history and context. So the first thing to say is Ashwood Church doesn't own the building that we're meeting. It's our home, but 15 or so years ago, the church created a separate organisation called ACR, Ashwood Community Resource. And the reason that we created that was to receive funding and to rebuild and run the centre. There's a lot more detail, but that was essentially the background. And the church has benefited from that organisation, and we've been able to use the Ashwood Centre as our home then for the last 15 years. And it's been a good home. It's been a great place for us to be as church. And today, in many ways, it's still a good home, but there are two main things that we've identified, and you'll be aware of this, many of you. There's two things. One is maintenance. There are things that need to happen with this building in order to make it fit for purpose, to be able to do the things that we want to do in our home. Those of you who own your own home will know that homes need maintenance, and the Ashwood Centre is no different. And then the other thing is in terms of size and space. There are times when, particularly as we look forward, but even now, we're very aware that we're starting to reach the points at which size will become an issue to us. That includes car parking, of course, as well, other things that have knock-on effects to that. So we get to the point where we say, over the last couple of years, there are things that we put in place, and a number of people in this room to look at that. So over the last 2 years, there's a number of things that we've done. One was we gathered a team within the church, a New Home for Ashwood team group, who helped to move some of these things that we were looking at forward. Last year, we invited consultation, and people in this room asked to be involved in that and helping us to shape and look at some of the requirements and things. So we did that last year. A couple of specific things. We looked at Astra Carpets, a place on Lowmore Road. They were looking to sell part of their building. I think they may still be doing that, but I'm not sure. We looked at that as a possible new site around about a year ago, I think. Lost track exactly of the time. But for a number of reasons, it didn't end up being a good fit. It ended up being very expensive in order for us to change things. So we put that aside. And then finally, we looked at another site on Lowmore Road, which was available for sale. It's actually the site where some of you will know the old Lowmore pub is. But very almost as quickly as we looked, it became unavailable. So it wasn't something that we had a long time thinking about, but it was something that very briefly we did consider. So that's some of the steps in the process of where we've been over the last couple of years. So where are we now? Just to bring us up to date, one of the things that the trustees are working alongside a new board. In fact, effectively, it's a new board of ACR, which we put together in order to help move this process forward. There's a number of reasons why we needed extra people to be involved who are independent of the organisation, of church. what's happening now in this time space is what we're looking at, bringing those two organisations together. So in the past, it helped us and it made sense to have two separate organisations. But more as time has gone on and things have changed and developed, it now makes more sense for us to bring those two organisations together. And there's a number of reasons why that will help us. But overall, to simplify and make things that we do, we don't need to have two boards. We don't need to have doing duplicating effort and duplicating work. And also, it means that if a merger, there's a number of possible outcomes, which we won't go through in all the detail this morning. But there's a number of possible outcomes, but one of them would be that the church would then own the Ashwood Centre, be one organisation, and actually it would simplify things very much in terms of what we'd want to do going forward. And the great thing is that the ACR Board of Directors, we don't have an exact timeline, but we expect this process to finish very soon. So probably early part of autumn, which will be really good for us because it will open up our future with greater clarity than we've had so far before, and which will be really helpful to us as church. Just means that we can then start to make some definite decisions on what we are able to do and what we would then like to do. And so depending on this, we're kind of just paused for a little bit to wait for that decision. Once we know that, it means that we can have some clarity and what we would like to do next. Basically, there will still be a number of options. One of them will be, they're just outlined here, and these are just broad general options, but we could decide, depending on the outcome of the ACR decision, to stay here on the Ashwood Centre site. That's one option. Another would be to a new building, this is all on the Ashwood Centre site, so creates a new building here on this site, or we could do some renovation, we could tinker with what we've got. That is still a possibility. If we did a new building, then the general view is that we'd actually need some more land, otherwise we would struggle to increase the capacity and the space we need to do. So that's not a done deal, but we have looked at the possibilities of increasing the land footprint around the centre. We've just mentioned then one of the other considerations would be another site. We talked about the two options on Lobel Road. These things are fluid. There's often things that are cropping up. And we, at this point, until we've got a definitive, then there's still options or things that we could look at. The final thing is hiring or using other buildings. And we wouldn't rule that out because in lots of ways there are benefits and advantages in doing that. All of these things, as we know, have certain pros and cons. So a bit of extra information, just to look at what those are the broad general options, but more specifically, and these are the things that are probably becoming more crystallized in our thinking. So if those are the broad options, then these are the more specific ones that we just want to give you a bit of an update on. And the first thing is on the slide here is an interesting an opportunity that we've explored only very recently, the last couple of months. But we've explored and had conversations with people who meet in the Hill Methodist Church. Some of you will know it's not very far away. It's probably about a mile. If you go up Station Road, on the left-hand side, it's not far from the Co-op and it's not far from Orchard School. It's where the Hill Methodist Church currently meets. And it's quite a big building, and it was kind of brought to our attention. Someone suggested that we talk to them and had a look, because it might be a possibility for us to do something maybe together. So we met with their minister and a couple of key people in the church, and also the superintendent who looks after the area. We had a conversation with them, and of course, initially, we have to talk fairly sensitively because people in the church, in the Methodist Hill Church, are not aware of the conversations that we've been having. And obviously, we want to be careful how we manage those conversations. And in the last 10 days, they've spoken to the people at in their congregation to talk to them about whether or not there would be a general consensus that we could, if we needed to, do something together in terms of using their building. So we had that conversation. A number of us went to have a look around and see how practically it could work. In reality, it's not actually quite as big size-wise as we thought. So although it is still an interesting possibility, it doesn't actually probably fulfill all the criteria that we would look at in terms of extra space. It's actually ends up being quite similar to the Ashwood Centre. So we had a look and did some plans and had a look at the requirements and what it would actually give us. And in the end, it doesn't give us a lot more than the Ashwood Centre, and it actually would have some other challenge. We'd have a different set of challenges. So although it's an interesting opportunity, it's something that we will explore. The likelihood is that actually it may only be useful to us if we needed an interim home. But they've talked to their congregation. We're very grateful for those conversations that have taken place. We've said to them that we were going to then communicate to church, to you, this morning. We wanted to be really clear, though. It's not that we're saying that we're going to merge the churches or there's not a community. It's not nothing. That's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that there could be a partnership of using the same facility together if we wanted to go down that route. And it may well be that if we are doing other options, that there may be a time and there may be a period where it would be helpful for us to have a part-time home, if you like. So we might agree with them that we could be their lodgers, if you like, for a little while. And of course, those kind of options, it's important that we consider those and have those kind of things available. The third option on that list is something that is another step that we are now going to pursue. So number of people have met with a guy who used to be part of an organization that doesn't exist anymore, but this guy, John Hardy, is an architect. He works with churches to think about church requirements, what people need in terms of buildings. He's got experience of doing all of that. So he is an architect, and he looks at buildings and plans, but he also joins up the whole process in terms of what churches need. So he's a great guy. Simon and Stephen and Claire have met with him and had an initial conversation. So we're going to pursue that a bit further. That's one of our next steps, is to explore with him what it would look like. And it was early stages, but he's helped a number of churches who are in a similar position to where we're at. So we're going to have those conversations, have some meetings with him, and explore a bit further how he might be able to help us in this process. But if we're going to do something like that, that really is the longer-term option, because he may open up some new access to other ideas and possibilities. But if we end up down that route, then that route is certainly the most will require the most commitment from us as church. It's the most expensive option. It would probably involve buying land. It would definitely involve us with significant investment in terms of new building. And so where we're at the moment, we're going to explore that. We're going to look ahead at that as a possibility. But realistically, that's something that is in our mid to longer term. And so if that's where we are heading and that's what we're looking at, then we're really saying, well, what do we want to do in the medium term? And one of the things that we have therefore talked about, as well as having the availability and the option of the Hill Methodist Church, is to think, what would we, if we decided that the Ashwood Centre was our home for a few more years, what would we need to do to make it fit for purpose in the short term? So we're recognising that maybe in the long term, it's not fit for purpose, but in the short term, what are the things that we could do? So we've spoken to some of our specialists within church who are experts on heating and some building alterations and improvements, because it may be that for a relatively small amount, it would be thousands, there are things that we could do to invest in and to improve in our home in the medium term. Does that make sense? So out of the broader options, these are the options that we are now going to explore in the shorter term to see where we get to. It's worth mentioning as well the New Home for Ashwood team who've worked on this project the last couple of years. In the next steps, we're going to cease that team as it stands at the moment, but we're going to draw on specialist input from individuals when it's required. And it may be that at certain points in the future, we need to reconvene that team or pull together a new team which is fit for the purpose of where we need to go next. But it's one of those things where we want to include the right people at the right time as we move forward. So certainly super grateful for people who've contributed into that New Home for Ashwood team in these last 2 years. There's some great people around who've helped us with that. So what does that mean short term for us right now? And of course, don't forget, we said it already, the reason we are even talking about a new home for Ashwood is, Claire said it, it's all about helping more and more people find and follow Jesus. That's why we are investing so much time and thought and energy. And these things, as you know, they can be, it's a journey. It's that, we use that analogy a lot, but it's a process, it's a stepping through things, and things have moved forward and will change. So what can we do in this short-term process? And a number of people have asked that question, what can we do? Two things, we can pray. And as we've talked about it, we know that a lot of people are already praying specifically into that. But we said, well, why don't we dedicate ourselves, set some time aside and say, let's just be intentional. And what would it look like if we said, if we invited everyone in the church to say, we'll set aside a couple of days a month and invite people to pray and to think and to particularly give some time devoted to thinking and praying as church together, recognizing that we are Ashwood family, over the next 6 months to pray and maybe fast as well and to seek God and just to be saying, God, what would you have us do in this next season? Because one of the important parts of these kind of journeys is what God does with us in terms of faith along the way. And so sometimes God just turns up and he drops a building in people's laps and there are some amazing stories. But most of the time, actually the process of where we're heading and what we're doing is as important as God builds faith within us. And there's a very clear connection between vision and the stuff that we want to do and the things that we believe God will grow within us and the journey of this whole process. So we recognize that that's something that could be really, really helpful to us. What is God going to do within us as we make these steps? The second is financially. Sure, it can be, yeah. Sure, yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. The second thing is in terms of giving financially. Already talked about a healthy financial position, but of course, especially if we're moving towards some of the bigger options, then we're only going to need more finances to be able to do that. And a lot of people are already giving into specifically, so this is alongside regular giving. A lot of people have said, well, actually, I want to invest in this going forward. There's two funds, and Lisa's not here this morning, but she can help to help people if they want more information on that. But there are some people who are saying, well, I want to, on a monthly basis, be able to invest financially, recognizing that going forward, there's going to be some challenging costs for us to meet together. So if you're thinking that this is something that you would like to do, then it's straightforward, just a conversation with Lisa or speak to one of the trustees. We know that God is calling us to step up in many ways into the things that he's got forward. We've got a question, haven't we? Do we want to settle and be comfortable where we're at? Or do we want to, we've just been singing, rise up, people of God. We don't ever want to get to the point where we're saying, look, God, this is all we've got. As Claire was speaking, I just felt a little quickening in my spirit of God saying, you can do this. You can do this. So that's hopefully that's clear in terms of information. We're happy to answer any questions. Simon and Elaine also involved in a lot of this. So if you've got specific questions for them, then you know, please grab hold of one of us. One other thing that we'd like to do this morning, Elaine is going to help us with. So can we give Elaine a microphone? Great, thank you.
I just want to say a few words about John Hallett, who sat at the front here. John actually is one of our longest serving trustees. He's been, actually, June this year, John will have been serving as a trustee for 30 years. So he's been here from the beginning. John is 88, but his heart and soul is still very much to be engaged and active in the work of God. And over the last few couple of years, John and I have had a number of conversations about when he might feel that he wants to step down as a trustee. We've had those conversations because I think actually John's realised it's actually not his spirit, but it's his body that's letting him down, and he realises that in terms of his failing eyesight and hearing and other things, that he is now not able to fulfil the role that he has in the past. As a team of trustees, we all come to the table with different skills and knowledge and giftings. Gay, who isn't here this morning, she brings us with her wit and humour to a point that we actually know what she can write in the minutes at the end of the meeting. Simon keeps us on the straight and narrow in terms of all the legal and governance issues that come our way. Elaine helps support Lisa with the finance with her gift. You can come to your own decision what I bring to the party. But what does John bring, and what has John meant to us over this time? And I just wanted to take us actually to some words in James, which I think actually sums up what John means to us. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good life let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without uncertainty or insincerity. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And John isn't just about wisdom. I know he leads his life in, he's always been steadfast and strong. He thinks very much about truth and justice, and that's his life's work. And when we're a group of people around a table making decisions, we're not just making decisions for ourselves, but we're making kingdom decisions. And as we've already heard, we're stewards of the resources that you have put into the hands of God to do God's work, and those decisions are important. And if any of you have been at meetings, sometimes you come to a point where you make a decision and then you talk yourselves out of that decision and make the opposite decision, and then you think, I don't know, what do we decide? And we very often go to John and say, John, what do you think? Because John always brings us back to the point that it's God that leads us. He brings us back to the Bible, he brings us back to basics. What would Jesus do in this situation? Where do we need to go? So personally, and as a team of trustees, I will miss John from his input into the trustees. I'm sure the church has got a lot to be grateful for over the last 30 years. So John, I just want to ask you to come up next to me. Shall we honour John for all he's done? John, we just wanted to give you a little gift from the trustees that hopefully you can spend on what you wish. We did want to just pray for you in a minute. No doubt you would like to. I know you're not prepared for this, but would you like to say anything?
Oh, it has been a long time, but when I look back on it, I look back with happiness and joy. Trustees meetings have now become less of an area in which I can contribute. But there are still areas as the church changes that I can contribute to. And we mentioned one earlier, the justice group. I'm so delighted that that started within the church, and I've been able to be a part of it and support the young generation who are coming along to lead that. I'm not finished, obviously. Even I think that, and sometimes I need to be encouraged to maintain that. But my sight and my hearing have seriously been impaired over the last year or two, and I can't read and write now. Don't be back to childhood a bit, was it? Can't read and write. But I do want to say thank you, because the warmth of fellowship within those meetings dedicated to the dry old business of trust and finances has been a pleasure to be involved with, and I'm just so delighted to have worked with the trustees for so long. It's been an experience I don't look back on with sadness but with joy, and to see the church grow and change amongst us. So thank you all very, very much for your support for me. Thank you.
What I didn't actually say is when I joined the trustees, John was actually chair of the trustees, and I was a bit, shortly after I became chair, so I was a bit in trepidation, but I also know that John has other things, not just related to church. He's doing a lot of work with people who have just lost their sight, so he's very much involved with new things, and I guess that's what we want to pray for now, that God will bless him in what he does. Yeah. Lord, I just praise and thank you, Lord, that you've brought, that John has been part of this church through its history and into the future. I thank you for all he means to us, Lord, and his wise words and wisdom and steadfastness to you. I just pray, Lord, that you'll touch him in a healing way, Lord, that you'll help him with his sight and his hearing, Lord, that you'll help him through his physical infirmities. But, Lord, in particular, I just pray that you'll bless his life as it goes forward, Lord, that you'll bless the work he continues to do for the church, and the work he does in the new things that he's now got involved with. We thank and praise you for him, Lord, and I just pray that you'll bless him in the future. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm so grateful that, I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful that I've got good role models, and Claire's, this kind of, it fits so nicely, doesn't it, when we've been talking about the importance of church family and the generational connections that we have. And in this room, there's John, he's a great example, but there's other people as well who are great role models for those of us who are coming through. Just as we wrap up, I just want to draw all the threads together. One of the things that we asked ourselves during the prophetic conference was, what can you see? And one of the things that I noticed, have you still got the PowerPoint, Rach? Is that all right? Some of you who have noticed, as you drive to the Ashwood Centre, will have noticed that there were some new signs that were put up as part of the building development. And going back a few years, the Ashwood Centre, as part of the Ashwood Centre, people who wanted to find their way here, there wasn't a signpost. And the ACR Board of Directors went to the council and said, could we have some signs that tell people, help them navigate to find the Ashwood Centre? I wasn't involved, but there was two signs that were put up that the ACR had to pay for in order to direct people. But as part of the new road layout plans that happened at the back end of last year and this year, suddenly part of that included a load of signs. And you may have noticed it, but it jumped out at me, because not after they finished, there weren't just two signs. There was actually seven new signs that pointed the way to the Ashwood Centre. They look like this. You've probably seen this. You might have observed them. You might have not even noticed them. But there were two signs, and now there's seven. And we didn't ask for any of these. But the council, or whoever's in charge of signs, I guess it falls under someone's roles and responsibilities, put all these signs up, which basically direct people to the Ashwood Centre. And the Ashwood Centre may not always be our home, but for now it is. And I just felt that God was saying to us that actually that he and other people are going to point people towards us as Ashwood Church. The other thing I like about it is that you'll notice it says on these signs, it says the arrow points to the Health and Wellbeing Centre, which is actually next door. It's the building next door. But then it also points to the Ashwood Centre. And I felt God saying, there are going to be people who come who physically and maybe emotionally will go next door to find their health and well-being. But they'll come to Ashwood Church to find spiritual health and well-being. And maybe they'll come for physical health and well-being because we haven't got, next door haven't got the exclusivity, have they, on God meeting people's needs. But I just felt that actually as we finish our time together this morning, that maybe we could stand together, just recognize, you know, the Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. And these days, when we talk about a house, we're not actually talking about bricks and mortar. We're actually talking about people. That's the house of God that God is building. And it's God who's building it. And I don't know about you, but I'm sometimes daunted, but I'm very grateful that God's building it, but he chooses to use us as the bricks in the house. And so this morning, hopefully we've been able to communicate something of what we believe God is placing before us. But I don't know about you, but I want to finish our morning this morning thanking God that he is the builder. He's the one who is building something here in this place, and we are privileged and honored to be able to support and play our part in that. There's so many great people in the room this morning and so many people who contribute in all kinds of different ways. But I wonder if you just join with me this morning in just thanking God that he's building the house and we have a part to play in it. So why don't we just, let's just praise God for a moment. God, we just want to thank you, God. Thank you, God. That you're building the house, God. We praise you, God. We praise you, God. We thank you that you're the builder. We thank you that you're putting things together. Thank you that you're putting plans in place, God. Thank you that you're going ahead of us. Thank you that you're the great provider. And Lord, we want to play our part in helping people find and follow Jesus. We want to be a spiritually healthy, growing church, Lord, across the generations. Would you help us, we pray? Help us, we pray, God. Help us, we pray.
Behind lifted up, behind lifted up, behind lifted up, Jesus, it's you we glorify, it's you we're lifting up, your name be glorified, behind lifted up, yeah, behind lifted up. Be high and lifted up, be high and lifted up. Jesus, it's you we glorify, it's you we're lifting high. Your name be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, it's you we glorify, it's you we're lifting high, Your name be glorified.
God, on the day when the church across this land and across the world celebrates the birth of the church, we are grateful to you that we are part of your body. We're part of a church that honors and loves one another. And we pray, God, as that we move ahead as church, as people together, that you'll help us to be a people who always lift up high in the name of Jesus. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name.